Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to Space, carrying finance and property news. And of course, it's Monday evening and Edwin is with me once again. And Edwin, a funny thing happened on the way to the local council.
Martin, you've got to be on the best behaviour these days. went into the local council, I won't say which one, and I asked for the town planner on duty, and they directed me to one of the counters. I went to the counter, and out pops the town planner on duty and says, how's Mike North going? I said, what?
I got branches everywhere, Edwin. Branches everywhere.
And I said, looking forward to the Monday rant. I forgot what question. I didn't know whether to ask the questions I went there to ask, Martin. I didn't know. They're watching us, Martin. They are watching. All branches of government are watching. So you better be on your best behavior.
Well, I'll tell you something. I won't give it the show away here, but John Adams and I have discovered that ASIC has been quite interested in what we've been doing. And I've also had no less than three approaches from different parts of the ABC recently relating to mortgage stress. And so they're wanting data. So, yeah, everybody's interested in what we're doing, which is good.
Yeah, look, it is. You just never know when my French and Lebanese will start popping out of my mouth. You just don't know who's watching and filming you. I mean, I went to a few auctions on Saturday, and one in particular was interesting. Now, this guy was eyeballing me. I didn't know whether he was going to come over and say hello, come over and give me a kiss, or come over and beat me up. He was just kept on staring. So I figured he must have been a DFA fan. So I just said, g'day, kept on walking.
Well, but, you have to go around with a bag over your head, Edwin. That's the only answer.
I'm going to have to get some sort of disguise. But, did you see that video from Max Chandler, the Max Chandler Mather from the Greens? With regards to where this money that Albo is raising, or the Labor Party is raising to build the million homes or so-called million homes, which really equate to 30,000 over 5 years. Yeah, did you watch that video?
I did. Well, the Greens have been very vociferous about this, and of course they're negotiating currently with regard to whether they're going to support it. But the whole idea of putting that money aside and then only using the interest generated off that money to flow into housing means that it's a very, very small, contribution to the housing situation. And the Greens have been quite vocal, actually, on a number of fronts, saying, we need to find a different path. I think they're probably right. Interestingly, here in the UK, same debate going on at the moment, huge issues with regard to housing supply and housing affordability. And some of the same arguments are being run as well. So the question is, Edwin, do you simply leave it to the financial markets to solve housing, or do you actually go some other route? And my own perspective has been for some time that if you leave it simply to the free market, quote unquote, and generate income off a base of money and then invest that, you're going to be still here in the middle of the next century, and we'll still have a massive housing situation, particularly of course with migration now, well, according to Treasury, 700,000 or thereabouts over the next couple of years. So crazy.
Oh, look, it is, and there's some real interesting and truth bombs that went out on that video, and I found it really interesting with regards to that fund that they're supposed to be investing in. I mean, it lost 1.2% last year or something like that. I mean, I'm just sort of paraphrasing some of the stuff that I recall from watching the video over the weekend, which equates to hundreds of millions of dollars or something, and some interesting figures that were thrown around. But at the end of the day, what really captured my attention was when you said that they're making the assumption that to build a house or to build a dwelling of any kind, perhaps a cubby house, it was going to be $72,000, including land. So then, you know, a house out in the middle of New South Wales came to mind that one of our followers sent me, that's on the market for $49,000 in the middle of nowhere, that it was riddled with white ants and a derelict in destitute home. But look, yeah, that came to mind, and perhaps that's what they want people to do, to move out to the middle of New South Wales. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But as you said, but even let's say, even if they got their act together, like you and I've been saying for a while now, even if they got their act together and they started putting shovel to the ground tomorrow, it's still going to take 3 to 5 years to only deal with perhaps 10% of the need, if they put shovel to the ground tomorrow. But as they keep on arguing, the major parties will keep on arguing and going around in roundabouts. It's not going to happen, and we're going to see people, and we're going to see people living in tent cities and caravan cities. I mean, that's, and then of course there's the other funny thing that happens at auctions in that part of the world that keeps on giving, Blacktown, where you see illegal dwellings go up for auction. Homes with illegal dwellings go up for auction, and interestingly, these properties then will then get put back on the rental market, and it's basically a dwelling that potentially could collapse. I mean, this is what a lot of the powers to be are basically letting go through to past the goalkeeper. And a lot of things are just getting through the legal cracks, Mark, Martin, just going through the legal cracks. And that was one of the reasons why I attended this particular council, was I wanted to ask the questions as to how a number of these dwellings are being presented to market, are being presented at auctions, and not a lot of information is given out. And then at the end of the day, it's the tenants that end up living in these derelict properties, although they look shiny and brand new when they get bought. But then within 6 to 12 months, things start falling to pieces and they become quite hazardous, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, that's the point, isn't it? The quality of housing, particularly new housing, is pretty low. And quite a lot of the properties that are coming onto the rental don't necessarily meet standards. I mean, I know that the councils and the government, states have been putting a lot of extra effort into lifting the basic standards, but in many cases, it's just not coming through to real houses. People are so desperate, they almost rent anything. And that's the real problem at the moment, that the supply of rental property is drying up. More property investors are actually exiting the stage. The supply of public housing has dropped through the floor. No one wants to touch that. And so we've got this massive crisis that has been bubbling for many years. You and I have been talking about this for some time, but now it's really, really, I think, hitting the headlines. And of course, in the meantime, as we said in our show last week, some people will be actually thinking about a property in terms of dividing it up and letting out individual rooms. So they've got a different economic logic to a standard person or household buying that property. And that means that you can never compete with them.
No, that's right, and this is the interesting part. I mean, look, I attended an auction over in Blacktown, right? As the screenshot there will show you, and I've been very vocal about this particular auction. This is the third time lucky, and it actually got sold, albeit in the current contract for sale, there was a disclaimer there, or under the special conditions, where they note that the re-section of the property, which is perhaps one third of the property, plus the studio, is not council approved, and therefore it doesn't have an occupation certificate, right? So it's not deemed or suit for purpose. It looks like it, but it's not. And look, Martin, one of the bidders, almost bumped into me and smiled, and we started chatting, and then I just said off the cuff, I just said, mate, what's your interest in the property? He's a fellow from South Korea. It's going to be his first home. And I said, per chance, have you obtained legal advice? And he said, what do you mean? I said, do you have a solicitor or a conveyancer acting for you? Have they looked at the contract? And he said, first of all, he said no. And I said, so you don't have a solicitor, you haven't had a look at the contract, and this is your first auction you're attending here in Sydney? He goes, yes. And then I explained, he said to me, what's a conveyancer? And then it said, yeah, somebody that looks at the contract before you come. Oh, it says, oh, yeah, my wife had a, spoke to somebody about that. And I said, all right, and are you aware about the condition of this particular home? And he goes, no, but it looks good, looks great, looks renovated. And I said, yeah, maybe you should look at special condition. I think it was 45. So he rang his wife, and he came back, white as a ghost. And he said, oh, illegal dwelling, illegal dwelling. And I said, spot on. So you're still going to bid? He goes, no, not going to bid. I mean, but this is what's going on, Martin. This is why a lot of things are going, a lot of these issues, a lot of these problems are going through the cracks, apart from everything else that we've spoken about with regards to building and pest inspections and what agents are putting out there as being kosher and are being okay 100%. And I mean, there's all these dirty little deals that are being made between agents, not all agents, not all agencies, and building inspectors that have just come out of IT work that have never worked in the building industry, and they're putting together these building reports that show no faults whatsoever. And so I've been putting it out on Twitter to say, look, for the government, for Chris Means, for his government to start really looking at stamping out all these issues. Here we have a first-time buyer from overseas. He's come over. There's very little about the auction campaign. There's very little about the legal procedures. The solicitor, obviously, that they've used is probably of the same nationality. Hasn't read through the special conditions because he was not aware of that particular special condition, which said the dwelling was not fit for occupancy or wasn't council approved and didn't have an occupation certificate. Now, on top of that, you've got now that was. One, I spoke to another participant at the auction. Now he was aware. He was an interesting follower. He was aware of the fact that the dwelling, the resection of the dwelling and the studio was not council approved, and he was aware of the special condition. But he still participated. But he had a maximum price. What he told me, look, my maximum price is so much, and if the council find out about it, well, so be it. I'll deal with the link. But he was an investor, Martin. So he was prepared to buy the property as an investment and then hand it over to the agent to rent it out, and the agent knowingly putting a tenant in a property that is not council approved. When you look at the, because I inspected this property in August last year. When you look at the support beams, right, underneath the extension, which is really over an old, an old veranda, call it a veranda, call it a pergola, whatever you want. I mean, the main bearers had wood rot, and I figured, that'll last another year, maybe a year and a half. But you've got this structure on top of this old affected, so-called bearers that are supposed to support an extra 3-4 ton. Of materials on top of that, notwithstanding the people that are going to be living in there. I mean, this is what's going on. So this is the craziness. There were six to eight participants. That was two that I spoke with. My question is was the person that bought the house, were they aware as well as that it was an illegal dwelling? Perhaps not. It's a 50-50. And what about the other five bidders, were they aware as well? This is crazy, because the first and the second time that this property went to market, that special condition was not in the contract. It was only recently that special condition was put in the contract.
Well, object lesson there, absolutely. You've got to get your own independent advice. You've got to really go through the contract. But even then, you may not have the contract disclosing all of the issues, which is why you absolutely need to do your own separate structural survey from a qualified person before you actually commit. I mean, there are so many stories of people just jumping in and then regretting later that they bought something which is particularly faulty. And the other point there, of course, if in fact you ultimately then let it out to tenants, well, tenants won't know. Tenants don't go around to getting structural surveys of properties they're going to move into. They're so desperate, they'll almost rent anything. So it just shows you how precarious this whole system is.
Yeah, look, it is. And this is, I mean, touching a bit on what we're going to talk about later on as well, is, and this is what's also inflating a lot of the areas, a lot the prices in a lot of areas where people are just jumping in, Mark, for the sake of, as we call it, parking money that otherwise would be sitting in bank accounts that the, you know, or under mattresses that the little aunties and the WeChat chatterers may have laying around. And that's what they're doing. And they don't care. They don't care whether or not the buildings are fit for purpose or for tenancy. That's not with their primary concern. The primary concern is just to buy and put the money somewhere rather than just leave it in the bank, because they don't trust banks. They don't want to open up another business. They don't want to invest it anywhere else because they don't see it safe. And right now, if, as you say, like what we say is that people are renting anything and everything that has that has four walls and access to a bathroom and a kitchen, you know, and they'll rent it and they'll pay whatever dollars. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that we're seeing out there that I've been seeing out there as well. And you know, we won't go into the garages, the asbestos riddled garages that have been converted into so-called granny flats, and they've been rented out for $320 per week. In Blacktown of all places. But then again, you've got the same thing, you know, cubby houses, as Parapower puts it on Twitter, been rented out in Pennant Hills for $320 a week as well. It's crazy stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I see in my surveys is a lot of students are getting caught up in this too, because, of course, the point about students is that they're here for a relatively short period of time. They're desperate for accommodation. And in fact, I see that some of the local chatter is about some of the questions about how long will students be able to survive? Will they be able to pay for accommodation and expenses? Remember that migration is a lot of students coming in from international sources. And of course, the question is, once you're there, what are you going to do? This is a really big issue, isn't it?
Look, it is. And it's going to be interesting how it unfolds, Martin. Again, this is the chatter on the main Chinese app. Here in Australia, that the students or the Chinese, anybody that speaks Mandarin, well, we'll get on to. And the app is Australia Today, or call it City Today, and you get on there, and this is what Dusty pointed out to me today, and this is rather interesting. Now, the mainstream media are going to pick this up perhaps in about 3-6 months when there are plane loads of students going back to China and going back to other parts in the world because they can't make ends meet. So the chatter on the amongst the WeChat chatterers there is as you say, is they're finding it very difficult to basically stay. They're questioning how long they're going to stay, given the fact that it's hard for them to find affordable accommodation, reasonably in reasonable good condition. Everything there that they're talking about on this app is pretty much talking how badly a lot of the properties are presented, but yet they're forced to take them on because they've got nowhere else to go. It's either rent them out or sleep in a tent or sleep in the park. Now, the question is going to be, as I said, Martin, and this is what they're asking themselves, is how long are we going to stay? How long are we going to put up with this before we get on the plane and go back home? So it's an interesting crossroads that we're going to face, or people that are decided to hold on to apartments, taking them off the sales ledger, and now holding on to them and be renting them out, or even older homes in your southwest regions, or in the areas where the students would rent the rooms out. So it's going to be interesting how this unfolds. I'm one to think, based on the chatter and based on what Dusty tells me, I'm one to think that a lot of them will be going back home because they have to. What they're saying on the chatter there is they're saying that the majority are having to work 2-3 jobs in order to afford accommodation and just living expenses, Martin. That's on top of the study duties. So yeah, they can only take this for so long before this thing potentially turns around. But here's what I'm going to ask you: is do you think once the mainstream start noticing the plane loads of students going back home, do you think that the government's going to jump in and incentivize them to stay by one way or another with or do you think they're just going to let them go back home?
Well, on past behavior, I would expect them to find a way to be able to, quote, help, unquote, these this particular group too. Obviously, you know, you need a big Australia, you need more people here, you need more people to buy more stuff. You know, if they're working three jobs, then they're going to be working in relatively informal settings where, of course, people keep saying we need more people. So I suspect this will be another fix down the track. But as you say, it's got to allow 6 months for the mainstream media to pick up what we've been talking about. So probably after Christmas next year.
But yeah, one of the things is that don't forget the pressure from these educational institutions, the tertiary education, the private education system. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the state governments across the eastern board, and I would say that definitely the governments, state governments and federal, will step in one way or another, and our tax dollars will fund them further means and ways to stay. I'm sure there's no doubt about it. Well. Yeah, what about our current boy Chris is doing, Martin? Same, but different.
Well, that's right. So the opportunity to be able to spread your stamp duty over the life of the property, in other words, rather than actually paying it up, so, you know, they've reported that quite a few people pick it up, and now they're extending it, right? So yet again, another example of yet more support for the housing sector, and they're claiming it's a success. I have my doubts personally, because what I've noticed is that where people are actually spreading it, they're actually able to offer a little more in terms of the price of the property. So it's actually having an upward impetus on property prices, particularly in this particular area. So basically what they're now doing is extending it, which means, of course, more properties will be able to go up a bit more.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's, as I say, same, but different. Let's just change the numbers around. It's all going to have the same outcome, which is inflate the property values from what we've been saying for a long time, between your 800 to a million. It was 650 at one stage, but then went to 750. Now we're at 800 to a million, which, it's prime. It's really prime for many that are in the flipping game in that, in the price bracket, because they know they could make a quid on the other side. Now, some would say, well, what would you want to do? Spend so much, risk so much to make 100 grand on the other side, and then 50 of it. Let's say, it's a 50-50 split by way of capital gains tax. But you know what? You do that 2-3 times as a part-time job, which a lot of the flippers or builder, developer, part-time flippers do. And it equates to a fair chunk of change for almost a part-time job, because they don't do much to the properties in order to spruce them up and then add another 100,000 to 150,000. But with what our boy Dom did, they were making, some flippers were making 200,000 to 250,000, because the price tag went up to 1.5, that you could do that, right? So now Chris is saying, well, that was okay, but we've got something better. We're just going to increase the no stamp duty, the exemption right up to 800, and from 800 to a million. I mean, this is just, again, same, but different. The people that are going to miss out are your first time buyers, your people that want to enter the market at that price, that bracket. These idiots, I'm sorry to say, but these idiots. Instructing, or whoever is the advising these advisors to the government, to these mouthpieces, are just fools. I mean, this shit just doesn't work, other than increase the value of property. So it's just keep on pumping, the losers are your first time buyers.
Absolutely. Well, all of the reports, Productivity Commission and everybody else has said any of those incentive schemes, what they do is just push prices up. Now, the other interesting observation, of course, is the rate cliff for those fixed rate loans is hitting. CBA reported the other day that July, August time is going to be really the peak of it. So the question is, what will be done to make this a less dramatic situation? And we've got a theory, right? There could be quite a few little levers being pulled once again to save the property market and save financial stability and save our banks. Doesn't it make you feel good?
Oh, it's it gives me sends shivers down my spine, Martin. Gives me the thrills, you know. it's like walking into a little kid walking into a candy store when my grandmother used to take me to the markets of Colombia to buy wholesale to take back to a little a corner store in the village, and I used to be overwhelmed by all the goodies that I could get my hands on. it's just the same feeling. Yeah, I mean, look, this is my two bobs worth, right, which I put up on Twitter, right? So we can talk about them quickly. Number one, the banks along with regulators will, along with the government as well, right? They'll push to soften the pain, Martin. As I say, they'll keep on throwing mattresses under this floor, and it'll be a slow leak. But that leak will only be, as I say, in point number two, it'll be in areas where the current migration don't have an appetite to buy or rent in, right? That's one of my theories is that, because that's sort of what we see on the ground that's playing out. So in other words, where you've got you're not close to transport, you're not close to education, to tertiary education, and therefore it's really it's too far away, and these are the areas that potentially we could see a slow leak because of the softening. The cushioning effect that the governments and the regulators and the banks are just going to cook up in order to soften the blow.
Yeah, and interestingly, some of the banks have actually started changing their underwriting standards to be able to allow people to refinance. And they're doing absolutely everything they can. They're bending over backwards to try and help, quote unquote. Obviously, what they don't want to do is to have a bad loan. So you can expect to see more than that. But it is worth noting, isn't it, Edwin, that really, if you're going to see, this whole thing begin to settle down, you need to see a lot more listings coming on, because without it, it's going to be a major issue.
Well, that's correct. And this is what we talk about and have been discussing of late, and that is the fact that the demand currently on the ground is a lot greater than what we saw in the winter of 2021 and 2022, when the numbers went down so low over winter. So I'm of the opinion that the numbers really have to double, both for apartments and for homes, in order to have this significant slowdown. However, now this is in general, right? But when you look at specific suburbs, it's going to be interesting how numbers are reflected in some suburbs, because in some suburbs, as I said, that don't particularly the current migrant population don't have an appetite for. I think they're the ones that you're going to see the stories of people, because there'll be a greater number of properties for sale because of the pressure from the banks, right? So in some of these areas, but not all. But overall, if we're going to look in the overall figures, look, I really need to see at least double the amount what we have currently for sale on market in Sydney for things to change. And this could perhaps be the same across Melbourne and Brisbane for things to really, for this hype, hype to really start to come down, or for there to be a quenching of the thirst that we see out there on the ground at the moment.
Yeah, and it's interesting. CoreLogic published a report just recently highlighting the fact that there are some areas where prices are still easing. And in fact, I was looking at Thurool for a client the other day, and Thurool prices are still sliding at the moment. And, they had a massive run-up. That's where I used to live, of course. A massive run-up continuing to slide now. So it is very much granular analysis required to understand what's going on. And I suppose the other point is that when people are actually in stress, So there's two interesting observations. It takes a long time for stress, if you've got a mortgage issue, to really actually move to the point of saying, right, I need to sell, right? It's going to be 3 to 5 years. This doesn't happen overnight, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. But, of course, what people do is they start to get rid of the toys and, you know, look at private schooling and, you know, maybe they don't go out as much. So you start to see those, some of those lifestyle changes. Well, I can tell you I'm seeing some of those lifestyle changes and some of those decisions already happening in some of these more stressed areas. So we know the early signs are there, but it's going to take a long, long time for this to work through. And it's worth reflecting, if you look at the US after the global financial crisis, it was 3 years after that that things actually started going wrong. So peak defaults were actually 3 to 4 years down the track. So anybody who thinks this is going to be over in 6 months are completely kidding themselves.
Yeah, and a couple of things there, Martin, going back on your points, is first of all, you know, the market in Peru really tanked when the greater population found out that you moved. So that was one of the fundamental reasons. Yeah, there's a shit. Martin's no longer here. Yeah, what are we doing here? There's no reason for us to be here. You know, I mean, yeah, and since I've moved to the mid mountains, Dusty and myself, Dusty and Evan, we moved to the mountains. Yeah, property values have gone up. So I mean, go figure. I don't know. It's just one of those anomalies. It's just one of those things. Yeah, that's the first thing, mate. The second thing, there's a lot of side dishes. So there's that have also been put to the side in order to, people are just going to look. People are going to be going all out. You've got, I'm sure I haven't looked at it. I do know somebody that worked in Netflix, very, very senior, very high up in Netflix. I'll ask him, maybe the Netflix subscription is down. Yeah, all these areas where they're spending, sporting, weekend sports, music lessons. Obviously, people are going to be doing, families are going to be doing without that. Children are going to be doing without that. And what we're also seeing is pets being also handed back to or handed over to the RSPCA, and pet shelters are just being swamped with pets because, I mean, the cost to maintain these little friends isn't cheap. Things are just going up. So, things are getting tough. And, people do need to understand it's 3 to 5 years from my observation based on the backlogs that there is in the legal world. But if you've got a solicitor, if you've got a consultant that can help you even stay a lot longer in a property, which is what we see also from time to time from previous cycles as well, Martin. But one of the things that I am hearing a lot from a lot of areas in Sydney, Martin, is investors are tossing up the coin whether or not to sell, particularly in the areas where the properties don't necessarily, there's no appetite for that room letting. There's no appetite for that budget accommodation. You know, it's not common for that. It's more for your traditional rental, your traditional rental market, and therefore you can't double the revenue in order to keep up with the interest rate rises to meet the repayment. So that's where we're getting a lot of chatter from. We are seeing some areas where some of these properties have come along, and I've also inspected in the last 2 weeks. I've inspected a number of properties that are riddled with issues that the investors just simply don't want to throw $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 at a property to get the same amount of rent, but they are forced to fix them up because of the new regulations that property managers are trying to abide by.
Well, then of course, anybody who's looking at property for improvement, you know, the costs of those improvements, the timeframes for those improvements, and the ability to get builders is getting worse and worse. More buildings are falling over. Supply chains are still pretty wrecked. So a lot of people have given up on that. And I suppose the ultimate question, Edwin, is, well, what happens if people are forced to sell? Where do they go? You know, well, maybe there's a shift to smaller properties or maybe even units. But, you know, we've been saying the trouble is that other properties are not much available. And of course, rentals are not much available. So, you know, you're going to hang on by your fingertips for as long as you can, simply because there really are no alternatives. And that's part of the dramatic situation that we're faced here.
Oh, look, 100%. And this is, yeah, I'm calling it now that we're going to get a swirl back into the regional areas closer to the cities. The people are going to migrate. They're going to have to bite the bullet, Martin. They're going to have to make that sacrifice if they want to live in a home, if they want to have that space. Particularly if you've got more than two kids, or you've got pets, you've got little friends. It's a situation where from a rental or even a purchase into a strata complex. I mean that can be. You know, if your little friends don't get accustomed to it, and I'm talking about, you know, when you've got dogs, they can't stop you from having a dog. I mean, there's regulations around these issues now with, you know, renting or owning properties in strata complexes with pets, but that doesn't stop the council from coming around and forcing you to accommodate different ways or your pet in a different way because of the fact of the noise issues. So yeah, the strata may be saying okay, the strata regulations may be saying they can't force you to, they can't kick you out, but the council can, right? Because it's a different body, it's a different group, and it's that's where things fall apart. Anyway, we'll see what happens, Martin. But that was something that we posted up on the. Over the weekend, and it had some interesting points, and people made some interesting comments. Mm. But we got to look at the numbers on a weekly basis. Numbers don't lie; everything else seems to change and on a dime, and turn around on a dime, and things just I call it upside down economics because when you think you've pegged a trend. The government just presses a different, pulls a different lever, and it's all over Red Rover, and you just can't, it's hard. So we just look at the numbers on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that's all we can do. And talk about the numbers. Well, this week, if you look at Sydney numbers, they're down again. So last week, 15,039 properties for sale in the Sydney region. This week, 14,850. So another drift down. Maybe no surprise. It's obviously winter. And in fact, Melbourne is pretty much the same, right? So we see last week 23,691, this week 22,704. So, you know, it's the same old, same old. As you come into winter, the listings numbers significantly drop.
And the interesting thing across Melbourne and Sydney, Martin, is that the apartment numbers for sale have dropped dramatically.
Yeah.
That was starting to pick up and drop dramatically. And obviously that's I feel that's for a couple of reasons, because obviously the ones, the WeChat chatterers that didn't sell earlier on, well, they're saying, well, you know what, we're going to be splitting them into the budget accommodation where they're renting out rooms, they're getting more rent for their apartments. And also, secondly, is that when we talk about the move, where do they go? Where do people go? There has been a huge movement from from your two beds to or a three bedroom house into a three bedroom apartment in order to stay within the local area, in order to keep the children within the local the same school catchment area, and also stay within the area perhaps that you grew up since you were a kid. I mean that you used to living there for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and you don't really want to move further afield. You may not be able to afford a house, a townhouse, a villa, but hell, you got to start somewhere, and they're just getting into the apartment. So we have seen, I feel, significant number The numbers of apartments drop in terms of for sale, and it's again it, for us, it's an interesting trend, because now we're seeing in many areas of Sydney the older the apartments that were built in the 60s and 70s are starting to pick up a fair bit of momentum when they were sort of pushed to the wayside because they were too old and dingy. They didn't have lifts and didn't have this and didn't have that. And you know what? In some parts of Sydney Martin, they're starting to pick up a bit of steam. And the open floor inspections that we attend, we're seeing in some of these blocks, anywhere between 20 to 30 groups in the time that we're there, looking at these apartments, let alone what could, however many come after we leave.
Absolutely. Well, it shows you've got to keep your finger on the pulse here as things move. Auctions still pretty slender, really, at the moment, and are still some underquoting going on.
Some a lot of underquoting, and you just keep on hearing on the mainstream media how now we've broken records of our clearance rates. It's interesting. But look, for me, when you look at the actual numbers, the number of properties that are going to auction in comparison to previous years, 21, 22, and before, they're not really reflecting a confidence, right? For me, there's something missing there, because if they were reflecting a lot of confidence from the vendors, I would say we'd be closer to the 1,000, perhaps even 1,100 in Sydney. But we're almost at 55% of where we should really be if in a hot market as it is. Perhaps the actual the numbers will climb, but for the last 4 weeks, if you recall, they've been sitting around the 650 to mid sixes to high sixes, which is not a lot. And it it's for me, it's that psychological barrier that people still have of not achieving the ideal price that they would like to exit. It could be one of the reasons, and or the other reason is again, where do they go if they sell, and if they want to retire, if they want to they're your empty nesters and want to trade down, as you say, that they don't that there's nowhere to trade down to in the area that you spent 30, 40, 50 years of your life.
No, absolutely. Well, it shows you just how dramatic the markets are and how quickly they're turning. So keep an eye on that. And note on the Sydney rentals, 11,042 currently listed. I see there that more apartments than houses still the story.
And look, this is the beginning of the week. Hopefully that number is a little bit higher than last week, but it's insignificant. Again, we should see that should be double the amount on market. But where do people, there's just nothing around, and we've talked about the many reasons why they're so the numbers are so low. Look, it's a sad state of affairs out there, and nobody really knows in political sphere. Nobody really knows, or perhaps nobody really wants to fix that problem, because let's not forget that 99.9% of our pollies have investment properties, and some of it, I've read some commentary that some politicians are sitting on 10, and one particular politician sitting on 15 investment properties. We're in the wrong game, Martin.
It does seem like it. And unfortunately, research in New Zealand showed that politicians had significantly higher investment properties relative to, count relative to the ordinary population. I suspect the same is here, although it is quite difficult to get full information. Some of the disclosures is not very good here. But it does show you just how deep these issues are. And, also the other point, Edwin, is that financial stability, of course, is associated with what happens to the property market, because the banks are so over-leveraged into property. 64-65% of lending is for mortgages. So if properties do slide, then that's a financial stability risk as well. So all the reasons in the world to try and support the markets and to support households, right? But of course, it doesn't solve the fundamental underlying structural issues that we've been talking about for a long, long time.
Look, it is, and this is what leads us to basically the tip of the week, Martin. It's more and more. I'm fielding calls from friends and relatives that are basically having a hard time financially, and that obviously creates a lot of other pressures, family pressures and mental issues. So the tip for me for this week is if you don't face your problem on your own, reach out, and if you're on the other side, if you haven't heard from somebody, or if you got an inkling that they may be under financial pressure or that, or because it's leading to basically health issues, leading to partnership split ups, which is sad. And this is what I've just been fielding in the last week or so. Just been reaching out and talking to friends, having sit down with friends, and it's. Yeah, everything that's got. I know we talk about property, we talk about the state of the economy, we talk about this, but at the end of the day, when it gets to the ducks guts of things, it's the pressures that people are under, Martin. It's just phenomenal what people the load that is on the shoulders of many people, and a lot of these people are close by. But I just put a word out and say, if you're feeling like that, just reach out. Reach out to somebody. Don't face it alone, because it's going to be hard and difficult.
Good advice, Edwin. I mean, the fact is, you've got to share some of this stuff, because you can't carry the burden alone. Unfortunately, there are other people, of course, also burdened. And certainly in my stress data, I see this coming through. And, financial stress can lead to significantly broader issues, health issues, relationship issues as well. So this is, a pretty sick society we live in. It's driven by this this massive run-up in property and massive run-up in debt. And now, of course, as we keep saying, the politicians want to keep the ball in the air, but of course the costs are huge. Therefore, share the burden, and don't just bottle it up. And there are all sorts of help platforms available for people who need assistance. But don't be backward in coming forward, and reach for them, because you cannot necessarily work your own way through some of these rather complex situations that people are in.
No, and look, there've been many times where I myself have been literally on my ass, and I could share many stories of the things that I've had to do in the past. One of the things that I guess helped me through is friends that knew that I was going through difficult times. They just reached out, and that encouraged me to lift myself up, dust myself down, and just push again and start afresh. So look, it's that word of encouragement goes a long way. Goes a lot further than $100. Goes a lot further than $1,000. It's just and next thing you know, you find out that you're not on your own. You think you're on your own when you're going through it, but then when you start chatting with somebody else, and they tell you and they help you to walk through it, and then you become stronger, and then in that strength, you're able to also assist somebody else that's in need. And that's how societies stay healthy. But the way we're going, it just seems like everything around us is just pushing us harder and pushing us down into the ground. But if we don't stick together, if we don't reach out, and this is why the many people that email you and email me through the through this channel and our followers. Just those words, simple text back or an email back that we send back to them, it just encourages them, and then they find a different path, and that they find a way out into a bit of sunray, and it's just reach out. You're not alone.
Yeah, great advice, Edwin. Well, thank you very much once again for taking us through the latest and greatest on the property front and beyond. And it's interesting how we always get into these broader social issues and economic issues as well as property, because it's all related. And I guess we'll do it all again next week.
Definitely will, Martin. Definitely will. And let's see what other goodies the Blacktown LGA throws at us, and the current government. What other stories they create for us to talk about.
Oh, the people who keep on giving. Thanks, Edwin. See you later. Cheerio.
Thanks, man. Bye.